Blog Talk Radio.
Start off with butterflies tonight because when we're looking at disappearing planes and Russia taking down drones today, That gives me butterflies. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Friday night's edition of Center Stage. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. We're so glad you decided to come on board with us tonight, because tonight, we will be covering several hot topics. In the first hour, we're going to look at what happened to Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. In the second hour, we will be looking at did Russia actually take down a U.S. drone today? They're saying that the U.S. drone was flying over Crimea, and they took it down. So we're going to talk about that tonight. And was that an act of aggression on the part of Russia that could lead to World War III? We're going to look at that tonight. We're also going to look at the fact that subpoenas were sent out in the case of Kendrick Johnson. If you all look back in the archives, we covered the Kendrick Johnson case. It's a young teen out of Valdosta, Georgia, who was killed inside his Lowes County High School gym. And they tried to cover it up and basically say that, you know, he slipped into the gym mat and suffocated by his own body weight. But his family never believed that story. And so they pressed the law enforcement agencies down there, the FBI and the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, until finally someone listened. And today, I believe, or yesterday, subpoenas had been sent out to several of his classmates as well as their parents. So that's happening, and that's just, like, major to me. I'm just so glad and so happy for the family, because I must admit they're some of the strongest parents that I've seen in someone dealing with a situation like this, and they were just determined, you know, with every breath, you know, God gives me, I'm going to continue to fight until I get justice for Kendrick. And it looks like it may be going to happen, but God knows it's long overdue. And lastly, y'all, tonight, if time permits, we're going to talk about China. The fact that the United States it looks like clearing the way for our chickens that are grown here to be sent over to China to be processed, and then sent back over here for human consumption. Now, I don't know if y'all have a problem with that, but I sure do. And so I've decided that if that happens, I am going vegetarian. I've been teetering on that for years, but I am actually going vegetarian. So one of my co-hosts is running late tonight. He's flying, but he's going to be with us very shortly. That's Mr. Buns. But I see Mr. A.J. Houston is on board. Good evening, A.J. How you doing?
What's up, Kara? How you doing? You doing all right?
You know what, AJ, in the world of news this week, I must admit I am not, you know. I mean, seriously, when planes are disappearing out of skies, I'm not doing so good.
But, Carrie, the only thing is, it's in the news. It's not like the first time all these things are happening. We just start reading.
Well, you know what? Well, wait a minute. Wait, are we talking about planes? It's not the first time a plane has disappeared?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
It's not the same situation with the plane. I'm saying it's been some situations with the plane. If you remember years ago, there was a plane that crashed that they couldn't find for a while. It didn't have a black box that a person that we thought was significant in the White House was on the plane.
Mm. We're talking about Ron Brown?
Remember that was?
Was that Ron Brown?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know what, today, y'all, listen, whenever something really crazy happens in the country, I always go with Lindsey Williams. So seriously, I was like, you know, I knew he couldn't come on at last minute, but I did know that I could get him on the phone and he could kind of tell me what's going on. And I spent a little time with Lindsey Williams this afternoon, AJ, and oh, my God, you know, Lindsey Williams is a Christian, and I didn't know until today he used to fly planes. He flew planes for 30 years. And he gave me a little insight into what happened. I just called him because I just needed, like, some kind of word as to, you know, what do we need to be doing and how serious is this? And what he said to me was, you know, from what he knows about planes, what they're saying happened is an impossibility. There is just no way that it could happen. And the example he gave me, so that I could explain it to you all in a way that you could understand this. he said his son recently was expecting guests to come from out of town. And they told him what flight that they were going to be on, and he was going to pick them up at the airport. And so he went on his phone. He said his son is very computer savvy and looked up the flight information and was able to find a site that basically showed him how to track that plane from its departure all the way to the arrival of the airport that he was picking them up at. And he said all that to say, if my son can track a plane of a friend, you don't think that the government of Malaysia can track a plane from the point that it took off to the point that it disappeared and which direction it went? That's just impossible, he said. You know, and he went on to say that there's a the black box, of course, is one way in which they, know what's going on once a flight has, crashed or whatever. But he said also there's the ELT transmitter, which he said between those two is just an impossibility that they are just saying that this plane disappeared into thin air. What do you think, AJ?
Well, see, every plane has a signal that it sends off so you can actually identify that plane, because in the Army I started off doing radars and, technical equipment for, monitoring flights and stuff. So it was pretty interesting. So when I was looking at this, I really couldn't understand, because I know one story I looked at said that they think the two items were turned off manually at different times.
Right. Like a few minutes apart or something?
Yeah. I was trying to figure out, okay, now, that makes no sense. If you find, why are you turning this stuff off manually? Then somebody said it only happens when planes crash or, just different things they were saying. And I just couldn't follow. So I'm actually baffled, because I really don't know how you lose a plane in the first place.
Exactly. And you know what?
But lose a plane for a week?
And the thing is, I think Travis Schaefer has joined us. Good evening, Travis. Is that you?
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. And Travis is joining us tonight to talk about this as well. But, AJ, I'm in agreement with you. I think what I have seen over this past week, and Travis, you can weigh in on this too, I think that the scope keeps getting bigger and bigger. I mean, first they said, the search area was somewhere about the size of Indiana. And I thought, Indiana? And now it's gotten even broader. So it almost, to me, and this is just me, I'm not an expert, but this is just, from Carrie, I think they're trying to confuse us. I mean, I really do. Because it's just
Carrie,
to me, it seems like a bunch of misinformation. Does anybody agree with that?
I agree, because planes emit an ADL signal. That's how you can tell which plane is where.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at a radar system.
Right.
So for them to lose a plane, they say they lost it over water, which kind of makes sense that you would be able to lose a plane over water, but it has to fly at a certain level. If it's flying at the right altitude, you can still track that plane.
See, at one the altitude reached 45,000 feet, which is not supposed to go that high. A Boeing 777 was not supposed to go that high.
Well, I read something along the lines that if it goes to a certain altitude, the government, of course, they have their radars on it. But if it reaches below a certain altitude, the civilian radars can pick it up. So it can be picked up by either radar.
Because they said it changed altitude multiple times. Well, shouldn't that have been an indicator to air traffic control that something was going on and they needed to watch that flight really closely? I mean, really?
Yeah, even with the communication panels and stuff, I did some reading on that as well. If they had some type of malfunction on the communication panels, and it signals the towers and it signals the FCC and all that, instantaneously, and so with it manually being turned off, it would not signal because it's not a sign of trouble. And there's so many backups to the communications, so you'd have to go through each backup to manually turn them off. So because one, it would kick in as soon as one is turned off, another one would pick up. So there's safety measures to basically fall back on.
Hmm. And AJ, didn't you used to work on planes and deal with like the building of the plane?
Yeah, I used to find myself on planes. I was in the Army. I was a helicopter crew chief.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked for Vault, so we built like the stealth bomber, the B-2, the B-1, the the C-17.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's pretty interesting. But most military planes, the box they go in them is their locator. It's like a locator frequency for each
mm-hmm.
plane.
You know, there's been conspiracy theorists out there, you know, and there always are. And so, you know, some have said, did the plane go to a secret island? I'll be honest with you, I'm not, you know, besides the conspiracy theorists that said, you know, an alien abduction, which I'm not with that, but pretty much everything else is on the table for me. I don't know about y'all, because based on the information, you got 13 countries helping with the investigation, which to me, you know, that spells chaos. But you got 13 countries helping, and a week later, you don't know any more than when you started?
Why do you take an alien abduction off the table?
Is what?
I said, why are you taking alien abduction off the table?
I'm just not there yet. I'm just, you know, work with me. I'm not there yet. But, you know, everything else is, short of alien abduction, everything else is on the table. Everything else. And, you know, I don't know. I just have a problem with, you know, what I know about flying, and it's very little, and I'll say that, it's very limited. But what I do know is you have a flight plan, and air traffic controllers are supposed to track you from the time you get into the air until the time you reach your destination. That being said, didn't somebody see the plane change courses, and wasn't that supposed to sound the alarm that there's a problem with Flight 370?
I will tell you, I was on a flight from Charleston, South Carolina to Buffalo, New York, and in the back of ours, in the headrest of the seat, you could track the flight. You could see where, at what altitude, the expected arrival. You could trace it second by second in the back of the headrest of the flight, of the seat on flight. So, I mean, if they have that capability and that detailed, you know, and so many safeguards to, you know, prevent, you know, hijackings and things like that, it's impossible not to know where that plane is.
You know, which brings my next question. First of all, in the world of everybody's got a cell phone, you know, and everybody's, you know, selfing, you know, doing these selfies and everything else, I just cannot imagine that a flight took off and had a problem and somebody didn't call somebody for help. So to
yes,
me,
right.
The only, huh?
I was going to say, and I think there was like 237 people on that flight. I'm just thinking of when the 9/11 flights, terrorist
mm-hmm.
attacks, people were making calls, you know, even
exactly.
while they were going down.
Exactly. Exactly. And so my thought is they would have had to been hijacked at the point that they boarded the flight. I mean, absolutely, because otherwise nothing makes sense. I mean, the hijackers would have had to been on the front, the center, and the back of the plane at the beginning and absolutely collected all cell phones in order for some type of communication not to have gone out on that plane, even if it was a distress situation or if it was a situation of being hijacked, you know, or they're saying piracy or whatever. All of that being on the table, somebody would have got a call off. That's just my belief.
Well, from what I even understand, the pilots have the secret buttons or some type of communication where they can do it secretively, you know, without, you know, the hijackers knowing, so to speak, you know. So there's always going to be, even if they take cell phones and communications from the people, there's always going to be a backup way of communicating with. And if the air traffic controllers didn't, you know, catch anything, you know, or when it got off the radar, they should have sent fighter jets out to just even monitor, you know.
I agree. No, this is the problem I have, too. If you say it got off course and then it went on to travel five additional hours, How is it possible that it wasn't in, you know, entering someone else's airspace and wasn't picked up on somebody else's radars? How is that possible? That's impossible.
That is definitely,
I mean, sorry,
that's
impossible.
Definitely a good question because, you know, I've been thinking of it in this, I guess, in this aspect that you have these so-called borders and these so-called imaginary lines around the ocean where it's a demilitarized zone or some illegal airspace for anybody flying, which they should be able to trace any plane breaking their airspace.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to agree with you. There has to be something. Somebody knows something somewhere.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's just like they think that they're basically like playing us out like we're stupid. I mean, it's like every day there's some information that comes out that contradicts what was said yesterday, you know, and you know, it's just like they're going in circles with, you know, the search area. And I'm like, that's just not true. I mean, it just you want to just scream at the TV and go, that just didn't happen like you're saying. And if that's the case, then why did it happen? Was it to, you know, divert our attention to that as opposed to something else that's going on in our world? Because it just seems like we all know after 9/11, a plane can be used to fly into a building. Now, whether or not it can do the damage that 9/11 said it did, I don't know. But we know that a plane can be flown into a building. So, you know, as one news report said, it can be considered a weapon of mass destruction after what we saw that happened on 9/11. So why is it that immediately when a plane is off course for that many hours, why wasn't that an immediate story that we got a problem with a plane that is missing and, in this, you know, in this area? It's something. We didn't get
that. I'm starting.
I
was just going to say, I'm starting to wonder if there was actually a plane that existed, but if there was some type of proof that it was actually took off and was in the air. And, I mean, there's nothing to other than what they're saying is that it's missing. So I'm just kind of, you know, back and forth with whether it existed or is it just some type of hoax, you know, from the government to do some type of test run or, you know, something, you know, to see the reaction of the other governments and things like that.
But the problem with that is you got 13 countries involved in this search. So are you saying they would be complicit in the cover-up or they're, the other 12 are just totally, this is, you know, it's unbeknownst to them that it's a hoax?
Well, I'm just really wondering if there's any type of proof that there was actually the plane in the air and it got off course and that, you know, how, because usually when, you know, when you're off the runway and you take off, you know, there's a tracking point, there's proof, there's some type of evidence that that plane took off and that was in the air for this amount of time. And, you know, it's on some type of, you know, or some type of record of it, some type of proof that it happened. And I just don't see that.
That's a very good point. You know why? Because of all things, Malaysia does not have a national transportation board like what we have here in the U.S. So is it possible that if this is a hoax, that's why they chose Malaysia, a Malaysian flight to do this from because of their poor system over there of tracking planes?
It's possible. I mean,
we get into a military situation because I know America's moving ships around to the ocean so they can actually search as though they're looking for the plane. So if there was never a plane, that means that the ship's in the ocean doing something different.
Wait a minute,
I said America was moving ships into the ocean so they can actually start searching for the plane on the floor of the ocean.
Right.
So
right.
If there was never a plane, then that means the movement of the ships had an ulterior motive, had some other reason that they were moved.
And that could be some type of intelligence gathering from the other countries or trying to gather intelligence from the participating countries or, you know, we just don't know, you know, what the motive is behind, you know, if that's the case, if there's no proof of this plane and the United States sent the ships out and they're out there, I mean, it could just be intelligence gathering or, you know, because a lot of this, you know, in the United States, you know, they had their own type of alien cover-up with Area 51 back, back when. So, I mean, it's not known. I mean, it's known that, you know, governments have these cover-ups and things like that. So, I mean, it's very possible that it could be a hoax.
Hmm. And are they moving these ships in there to drop something in the water and say, okay, this is a, we found this big wreckage and now, you know, mystery solved, kind of. So, and, you know, and it, what's sad is to be this distrusting of 13
distrusting.
Governments. It's that kind of day we're living in. And it's just weird that, I don't know, and one of the passengers is from this area. I just, you know, I just don't know that I believe that you can board a plane with a destination, you know, you're buying a ticket, you know, to reach a certain destination, and some kind of way, not only do you not make it to the destination, but there's no record of a wreckage, there's no record of a hijacking, there's no record of any type of catastrophic event. It just seems like it's just impossible. I mean,
is there a record of the passengers being boarded and like IDs and as I haven't really seen much of the families from the passengers itself. I mean, that's 237 passengers on there. I did read about the families from the pilots, but nothing really about the passengers' families and where are they at, what are they doing, what do they think. You know, because, I mean, if my family member was on that, you know, I'd be out there. I mean, I would want to, you know, be active.
Well, there was a story on that because one of the families are from Texas here.
Yeah.
And Malaysia was supposedly asking the family, whatever members wanted to come and wait until they found whatever, they was going to pay their way and pay for their expenses and everything for the trip. So I knew that was, I just noticed that was one story where they had families. But the other thing I wanted to note is that everybody on their cell phones, you know, you can, you know how you're on Facebook and you say this picture was taken from, you know,
location.
Fort Worth. If you're on your cell phone, should have a record of the last place it was noted that your cell phone was.
Very true.
Right, so the from the towers. Right.
Very true. You know, the thing is, okay, let's talk about the passenger list. It was one fella from this area, one young man from this area, and his family did go on the local news here and say this. I think the second or third day, they came out and go, what the heck is going on? Why are they treating this automatically like everybody's dead and we don't even have any wreckage? You know, how can you have closure when they can't even tell you what happened to the plane? You know, so they were very disturbed that the news coverage was coming out that, you know, everybody was dead, and that it just seemed odd that they had drawn that conclusion so early when there was no plane. There was no evidence that the plane was wrecked. There was no evidence that the plane had been hijacked. There was just no evidence to make a statement like that. And I thought about that. They had a good point. Why did they come out so early and say that it was something so bad when nobody knew?
The media, you know, of course, everybody has to be on top of the story without getting all the facts first. So, I mean, I can see the speculation coming out as far as that aspect, but as far as the official government-type things, you know, responding to the families, I mean, that should have never really been part of it because they didn't have the details to give the families. And, you know, the media aspect I could see, but not from the official standpoint, you know, it should have never been rushed to judgment on that. Because of the lack of details.
Isn't this starting to feel like the plane from 9/11 that went down in Pennsylvania? Remember, it was just a black spot on the ground. We never saw any wreckage. Remember that? Did anybody else see that?
Big hole in the ground, right.
It was a hole in the ground, but you never saw the plane?
No, I don't think I even seen a whole lot of wreckage other than the hole in the building with the Pentagon.
I didn't want to go there, but I'm just saying, y'all, it just, these planes are getting really weird with these situations. Exactly. And I think the situation with Pentagon, if the truth be known, they said that section of the building was already under construction. Had been under construction. Someone who lives in the D.C. area told me that they actually used to catch a bus and had to walk exactly right in front of that section, and that section had been under construction for a while. So just pointing that out there. And so you just wouldn't think something as big as a plane, they would be doing some of the things that I don't know. I mean, I want to believe that there's no foul play, but it's kind of hard to believe, you know.
I could pull up my house just from the satellites on Google Maps. I mean, the satellites pick up things. I mean, outside the radars and all that good stuff, you know, you have these satellites, you know, that pick up everything. I mean, if anything, the satellites would have picked up, you know, something.
Exactly.
It just doesn't make sense. I mean, there's always a trace, and just they're just not coming forth with the trace of what it is.
And you know what? You got a point about let's talk about the passengers a little bit. What about the picture that was circulated of the two young men of Middle Eastern descent that they said stole the passports in Thailand and used them to board a plane, I mean, to board Flight 370. Why is it that those photos were photoshopped? And if you look at them very closely, the bottom section of the pictures are absolutely the same.
Look like they're missing a leg as well.
They gave two different
reasons, though.
Okay, what were the reasons?
One reason they said when they were making copies to send out to the masses, something happened in the copier.
And they put the same
legs
on both.
Because one of them had a bag that looked like, had a bag on top that didn't look like the bag he had on the bottom.
Exactly. The briefcase looked like it was on the bottom. I think a different bag was on top. But the shoes, the pants, the legs were exactly the same.
The shadow,
and I thought,
The shadow was exactly the same, too.
Okay.
I wonder if you take the pictures of the suspects from the 911 when they were boarding the plane. I wonder if you take those and compare them to that. I mean, if there's any type of similarities, or maybe they just used some of those pictures or and photoshopped them or something. Because, I mean, if you remember, you know, back with 9/11, they released those pictures of those the people who, you know, the attackers. And, you know, they were also in the airport with the fake that. So I wonder if there's any type of similarity between the pictures itself.
You know what? I'm going back and look at some point. I'm going to do it because, you know, the thing is, the Malaysian government has acknowledged, you know, once the social media picked up on, okay, these pictures are, you know, got a problem here, it's been photoshopped, they did acknowledge, okay, you know, like AJ said, you know, we kind of had a problem when we copied them. But I just have a problem with the government that would put some pictures out there like that, knowing that the seriousness of the story, you know, and how crucial getting right information is. And so I just can't imagine. I mean, in reality, they both couldn't have the same legs, and they both couldn't have been carrying the same briefcase. So why did the Malaysian government not recirculate a new photo?
I don't even understand how that one got messed up just by merely copying it, because a copier copies the original image. So the original image had to be messed up in order to be copied that way.
You know, that's a good point. I mean, because, you know what, when you're exactly right. I mean, because, you know, one person's leg would look like one person's leg and another, but, if, you know, and another person's leg would look like another person's leg, but or whatever their leg looked like. But the issue is, if you look at that photo, it almost looks like it's broken down into three parts.
It does. You can see the three outlines.
Yes, it's kind of like a line above underneath the bottom portion of the face, and it looks like a line above, you know, where they were carrying these bags, and then there's another line lower than that. And so you just kind of have to wonder here, people. I'm just saying, just putting it out there that I don't want to be this suspicious, but at the same time, it just kind of makes one wonder, why would they have a need to Photoshop the photos? We're going to go to area code 901-299. I think I recognize that number. Good evening, Mr. Hurd. How you doing?
This is Gary's on the beyond. How you doing? I'm fine. I'm blessed. How everybody doing in the panel tonight?
Well.
Sorry, good. You know, I've been listening. I'm glad you,
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this show doing this topic, because I've been doing some research, and it does have echoes of a lot of things. I wouldn't dismiss the fact that it could have been a wormhole, like the Bermuda Triangle. You have stories of airplanes disappearing all the time. For example, back on October 16, 1972, Majority Leader Hale Boggs and Representative Newt Gingrich from Alaska disappeared on an airplane in Alaska. Now, you know, Hale Boggs was on the Warren Commission. He's from Louisiana. He investigated, and he didn't agree with the magic bullet theory. Also, he was an enemy of Richard Nixon and also J. Edgar Hoover. So they disappeared without a trace in Alaska. And think about this. His daughter is Cokie Roberts, who is a well-known TV news personality. Nick Begich's son is now the senator from Alaska, Mark Begich. And if they still can't find these people's bodies, or there's no reason to find their bodies, and their kids are this well-known and influential, they let you know the type of people you are dealing with here. And also you look at what happened around World War II on December 5th, 1945, in Florida, off the coast of Florida, in what is now known as the Bermuda Triangle. Look up the loss of Flight 19 Air Force Squadron. You had several planes for the military disappear without a trace. Then they sent out a rescue squad of 13 men. They disappeared without a trace in the Bermuda Triangle. So a lot of people say, well, maybe wormholes. Think about Amelia Earhart. You talk about 9/11. Think about Flight TWA 800, Flight 800 back in the summer of 96, which was probably shot down by one of our missiles from the Navy, from the ocean. And there's a lot of stuff to that as well. So I wouldn't dismiss the fact that there's a greater conspiracy involved. But what is so different between all those cases and now is that you do got an internet and a social media presence. So they can't really control the story like they used to in the past. So it's going to be very interesting what comes to play. But I wouldn't dismiss the fact of a wormhole or alien abduction or anything like that.
Ooh, Christopher Vaughn has joined the conversation. Christopher Vaughn, weigh in.
Hey, good evening. You know, there's been a lot of things that have happened, and they have been hard-pressed to explain many things that have been a mystery. With this case in particular, Brother Ron is correct. There has been a lot of cases where the government has been able to do certain things, but it's been isolated because people didn't have the information, they didn't have the wherewithal, and they didn't have the technology. But in this particular case, there were other agencies that basically had privy to that particular airliner from the time it took off to the time it disappeared. So it's going to be interesting to find out the information and the background behind what actually happened.
And I agree. I absolutely agree. I think so. It's just, this is the first time I think we've ever been a week into a situation, and it just seems like one contradiction after another contradiction. I mean, if the plane first flew off course, you know, I don't know, but you know, I would think that would have been an alarm sounded, you know, in the air traffic controller's job, that there's a problem here. And I would think that everybody, you know, from the point of the first air traffic controller where it took off at to the point of the air traffic controller that the destination was headed to, where they were headed, their destination, they both should have been communicating with each other. We have a problem. We've lost Flight 370. Do you see them on your radar? We don't see them on our radar. Why don't we hear anything about that, that the communication between the air traffic controllers and when they first noted that there was a problem and where did it head from there? Because it had to be in somebody's airspace. That's just a given. It had to be. And nobody's talking. You know, to me, I just feel like they're being very tight-lipped about what happened. And to me, that's suspect by itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, can y'all agree with that? That suspect, that they seem to be tight-lipped? I mean, it's not like a murder investigation or anything. Well, technically, it may be a murder investigation. But I would think the more eyes and ears that were aware could bring or shed some light on it, as opposed to everything kind of being, I don't know, I just feel like they're just trying to confuse everybody. I just think they're actually being dishonest. I really do. I believe they're just not being truthful about what's going on.
Well, I mean, I think there should be some type of not so much secretive information, but, I mean, they should withhold some information until they figure it out if it's, you know, related to a terrorist attack or, you know, if it alters with Homeland Security and that type of that stuff, you know. That, but there should be more answers than what they're saying. There should be more information because not everything's going to be related to Homeland Security and all that stuff. So, you know, they should be able to have some type of definite answers with that they can release. Some things that they can't, but some that they can and they should come forth with it. Because, I mean, with the technology today, they have the information.
You know, I just think with 239 people missing, you know, the families, I think I'm with you, Travis. I haven't seen a whole lot of people coming forward in terms of families and speaking to the media. But what they're saying, I guess, through the media is that they're very concerned that they're not getting any information. And all you really see is a bunch of people being hustled in and out of rooms and, you know, covering their faces and this, that, and the other. But you really get the impression that they're saying they're not hearing anything. I mean, or that's what I'm hearing them say. Are y'all hearing something different?
That's what I'm hearing.
I'm hearing as well. And so back to the stolen passports in Thailand. Does anybody have a problem with two people's passports are stolen, but, I mean, TSA is taking off diapers of children. I'm sorry. But at the same time, two passports are stolen in Thailand, and it doesn't get communicated to everybody necessary, like the FBI, CIA, and every other agency dealing with, you know, people with travel, that these passports are missing. Doesn't that seem suspect, too?
It does. I mean, do they even have the identity of the people who took the passports? Do they know who they are?
I thought they were claiming that the people who took the passports were these two people in this Photoshop photo. Is that not the case?
Right, but do they know their real identities?
Those were the real identities in these pictures. Is that not correct, y'all?
Well, they're Photoshop, so I doubt that that's the case.
Okay. Well, you know what?
I'm,
go ahead, Ron.
No, I'm very disturbed by the whole thing. I ain't going to lie to you. This got echoes of a false flag operation. I don't believe that there was actually 239 people on board. I think they might have lied about the number. It's like Gulf of Tonkin. They lied about their incident. They lied about a lot of stuff all the time. And, like, I think one of the pilots they're trying to blame this on is, like, Iranian nationality.
Right.
I'm troubled by this whole thing. People are so afraid to ask the right questions to get the right answers because you might not live to report these, you know, answers to the public. People are living in fear right now. This is a very intense time that we're living in, very troubling times. Lack of leadership, lack of accountability. Like you said about Malaysia not having a national transportation board speaks volume about lack of accountability, whereas we do got check and balances over in this country and it got no accountability. We are not respected as human beings in this country, so they don't owe us an answer about things like this that pertains to national security as well as our own well-being and social welfare. So I'm not surprised that these devils would do the things that they do, not only to us but to each other, all in the name
but
of
you know,
power,
you got a point. When they talk about the passenger list, they say we had – you know, however many Canadians, however many Americans, however many Middle Easterners, you know, and they're really not saying names at all. I mean,
exactly.
By now, the families had to have, you know, have been notified, but they're not
got
releasing
social media
a passport.
Right?
Huh?
Got social media. Why the family started on Facebook group? I don't know. They started a Facebook group or anything, but I'm saying like Twitter and stuff.
Somebody's got dirt in their bag.
Where's the identities of, you know, the identities of the passengers? I mean, do they exist? I mean, is there, because, you know, there's been reports before on other things where, like with the Boston bombing and stuff, they were saying a lot of those victims did not exist.
Right.
That it was made up. So, I mean, you and I and everybody on the panel, we exist. We could prove we exist. There's traces of our lives. There's things that, you know, we have friends, family, school, work, all this stuff that can prove that we actually exist. And I'm just not seeing more outside a couple of people here and there talk about their family members and other outside of the two pilots. And that's really disturbing to me.
Okay. Also, too, with that, I totally agree with what has been said, because if you remember back with nine, and I'm looking at this from a not an endorsement from the Department of Defense or Department of the Army, but I will say this: 9/11 caused a spike in across the branches of military ramping up in terms of getting their numbers up, because a lot of people don't understand, just like in corporate America, where they have those peak moments where they're making more money and more corruption is going on. From the military perspective, a lot of times what happens is that things like this happen, and I know that Brother Ron said that they put a spin on the name of one of the pilots, who was a 27-year-old pilot, who basically has like an Arab name. I guarantee you, after it's all done and said, they're going to, and they keep throwing things out there that are not yet fact yet, saying, oh, mm-hmm. It could have been a terrorist attack, it could have been this. They just did a big drawdown in Iraq, and now they're doing drawdowns in Afghanistan. Do you realize that there's a lot of people that don't want that? They want the war cycle to continue. So they usually come up with something, if not fabricated, to then increase and get public awareness so that people will want certain things to continue to go, because war, unfortunately, makes money.
And that may be the case. You know, that may be the case. I mean, because, you know, when you really think about somebody's got some noise in their background. When you really think about the fact that they say those tickets were bought at a travel agency. Now, and both of those tickets for these alleged suspects, were bought at a travel agency. Well, they have to present passports, I'm sure, to buy those tickets. Well, the problem with that is you didn't notice that two guys with Middle Eastern, appearances were using passports with names that were European. That doesn't sound right. I mean, that just doesn't sound right. Even when they boarded, I mean, it just seems like I would think that security for boarding a flight, especially, not necessarily an international flight, but I would just think just boarding a flight, period, they would be trained to look at things like that. I knew someone who worked for TSA, and she used to always tell me how much training they had with watching everything. I know these people working at the airlines counter got to be, trained, in terms of looking for things like this. So I cannot imagine that all these check and balances were just missed. Does that make sense to anybody?
It seems like all the checks and balances were missed across the board, from the radars to the passenger boardings to everything was completely missed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and they're picking, and AJ, your phone is open, or phone line is open. You know, as far as talking about the pilots, you know, they said, we can't rule out pilot suicide. But the weird thing about that is they said the police have been outside the pilot's house since this happened. But guess what? The Malaysian authorities have not searched their houses yet. Does that make sense?
No.
You know, none of this makes sense. So, you know, someone said, well, maybe law enforcement over there is a little different than over here, and maybe they have to have a little bit more evidence to search. Yeah, but with the pressure from 13 governments looking at you, I just don't believe that they wouldn't bypass some of that and go and search a house. That's just me.
And I'm sure just like here, you know, there's some things – that the government can override with constitutional rights and things like that when it pertains to Homeland Security. So they should be able to have those practices. I mean, they probably do have those practices in place as well.
I agree.
Altered.
Go ahead.
No, I don't say if it comes down to national security and things like that, I'm sure, they have things in place where your constitutional rights are overridden, so to speak.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, with all this knowledge on the phone, let's just talk about board the flight that may have a hijacker on it. Okay. Hypothetically, if I board a flight First of all, I go off instinct more than I do anything. If it doesn't feel right, I'm not even getting on. I mean, I'm serious. I just don't fly without praying. I don't travel without praying, first of all. But that's saying if I got on a plane and I just got an inkling that somebody didn't look right or somebody's body language was bad and my gut was like, get off, you know, I think I would. I just know me now. I would. So that said, if you're somebody who notices somebody doesn't look right, are people more watchful after 9/11 than they used to be? Aren't people like pretty quick to like panic when stuff doesn't look right? It just seems like 239 people would not have let a couple of hijackers take over the plane. I don't know. Does that sound logical to anybody but me?
Well, no, it does, but I'm saying I think they're throwing keywords out there for everybody to attach. Whoever believes one way or the other will attach themselves to one of the keywords, and that would be the conversation.
Okay. But, AJ, you get on a plane and it looks like this guy may be a hijacker. Don't you watch him? Don't you make sure that you don't take your eye off of? Don't you, you know?
Everybody looks like a hijacker.
Yep.
See, wait. You know what? To me, I don't know about that. And you're probably right. I mean, you should be suspicious of everybody. But I think after 9/11, they have trained us that a hijacker looks a certain way, and that's crazy for us to think that way. But in my mind. When I think hijacker, a certain image comes to my mind.
Well, you know, what think about this as well. Like, we talk about all this airplane security, but if you're a veteran of riding Greyhound buses or now Mega buses, they don't check you like that. I'm surprised there have not been a nuclear suitcase attack through the Greyhound bus or the Mega bus in a major city in America. I mean, why is it we got all the security on airplanes?
I can tell you why that probably is.
Okay.
I think it's because the people who ride the mega bus are not considered somebody that they're worried about. Or that people – you know where I'm going with that. If anybody does know what mega bus is, it's a little cheaper way to travel than Greyhound, right, Ron?
I mean, yeah, it could be. Yes.
I don't think that's the kind of – it's kind of like this. When we heard about all the gang violence in Chicago, nobody was moved. But when we heard about Sandy Hook, all of a sudden, you know, all bets were off. Everybody was ready for some gun control to get in place. And so I think the same with if a mega bus got blown up as opposed to 239 people missing in a plane coming from Malaysia that had all ethnicities on it, everybody's concerned. Does that make sense? It's not fair. Don't get me wrong. But
I know,
that's
but
what
about, why would nobody use that as a way to sneak in a nuclear suitcase bomb through the Greyhound or mega bus? That'd be the perfect way to get into D.C. and New York undetected. Or Los Angeles.
Oh, I'm thinking you mean that they're going to blow up the bus. You mean they're just going to travel with
a nuclear bomb. I ain't talking about just blowing a bus, but a nuclear suitcase bomb.
Okay.
They make these nuclear weapons very small now. You know, like they could get a bomb and just blow up the city. I mean, a nuclear bomb through the Greyhound bus. I'm not putting stuff out there, but I'm surprised they never checked the bus as closely. Because you got illegal immigrants or aliens, as they call them, ride the buses. You got all types of folks, interesting people, peculiar people that ride these buses.
Now, I think the people that ride Greyhound and the Megabus have been detection systems in the airport because they've been in the hood. They know what everything looks like.
You know what?
You might have a point. I don't know. It's interesting.
Megabus, you know what? You're probably right. Megabus and Greyhound got their own security. Because everybody know who belongs there and who does.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, but no one. I'm agreeing with you because I think recently hasn't TSA even start watching the train system? Didn't you hear that?
They probably have.
TSA is guarding the train.
They should be watching everywhere, though. They should be watching everywhere.
I agree because you know what? I think you're right. The worst thing in the world you can do is eliminate or exclude something, and then you know a hijacker or a terrorist or whatever realizes that that's an excellent place to do something with. So I agree. I mean, it's just to me, law enforcement seems to be watching what they shouldn't, you know, and leaving I mean, big gates open for other things. I mean, it just seems to me, I thought air marshals were on all these flights. You know, is that just here in the States and not in, on these other flights? I don't know.
Probably Israel. They got a real good security over there. They have to. They know they got by the title is an American title.
Oh.
So everybody don't have them, but some people might have something similar, but everybody don't. And even in America, they have air marshals on some flights. You know, it's like you don't know which flight they are. That's why you don't know who the air marshal is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the threat of there being a probability of an air marshal being on the flight with you. Because you don't know if he's out there.
Wow. You know, and I don't know. I mean, it's just, I don't know, y'all. We're going to move it because we're going into the next hour. But it's just several things that I just wanted to hit on with this before we moved on. 27,000 square miles were being searched. How do you search 27,000 square miles? That's like a joke.
In which direction?
I mean,
with 27 million people?
That's what?
No, I'm saying which direction were they? I mean, 27,000 miles in how many different directions? I mean, so, I mean, because it's going 27,000 miles in one way, then 27,000 miles the other way, and all four directions.
If y'all look at that map on the screen, basically they said the flight was on course, and then all of a sudden it veered off course, and it possibly went west or it went this other direction. And I'm thinking, come on, y'all. You can't say that it veered off course, but you don't know exactly which way that it went. I mean, that's just how insane the coverage was on it this afternoon when I was looking at it on CNN.
I was going to say, then it all happened within the first hour of the flight. So, I mean, that limits the possibilities as well.
And also,
they do go off course a little bit sometimes. They go off course 90% of the time. I mean, just for turbulence and other things.
But that's not necessarily on
Well, how does a plane veer off course for 5 hours?
But, Terry, the possibility was open when they said that this is how long the plane flew at first. And then they said, well, it's possible that the plane flew another 45 minutes to an hour past the time that we thought the plane did.
Okay. Well, you know what? Go here with me. Don't we say here in the States, don't you think about doing nothing stupid because they can get those planes up in the sky so fast and take a plane down? Don't we say that here?
Yeah, they did it in Pennsylvania, right?
You say what?
They did it in Pennsylvania, right? They shot the plane down. It didn't crash. They shot it down. Like you said, it crashed in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, hello? You know, and so we know that they can get these planes up in the sky pretty fast. So in the case of a plane veering off course for 5 hours, doesn't that give them a lot of time to get a plane up in the sky and get it down?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just, you know, people, we're just
putting more than enough time.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? So it's not like, okay, well, they didn't have enough time to get up there. They're saying that this plane veered off course for 5 hours. How is it that we didn't get something up in the sky and get it down if we thought it was a situation, you know, that was one that we needed to be concerned with? And any time a plane leaves its course, its travel course, and goes, you know, totally, you know, in an opposite direction for 5 hours, somebody needs to be getting in the skies. So, y'all, that's
maybe
just one theory on that.
Maybe one of the governments did shoot it down and trying to cover it up because of the amount of people, the fatalities.
I think that's a good theory.
They overreacted and can't answer for the casualties.
Wow. Now, that's a possibility. But, again, then, where's the black box?
On the part of the cover-up.
They have to fly the plane to get the black box.
You know what? Lindsay Williams told me this today. Lindsay Williams said, you know, after flying for 30 years, he said the ELT transmitter and the black box are practically indestructible.
Beautiful.
Okay. So that said, where are they?
They're on the plane. You have to find the plane to get the black box every time. That's what they're trying to discover, supposedly.
But where are the transmitters that letting you know Remember, the ELT is a transmitter. So where is the transmitter at that will let you know? You know.
But suppose if it's underwater, it couldn't detect it.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I never heard that. Okay, I didn't hear that. Okay, well then y'all listen. That's all I got on that. I mean, I could go a little bit further, but I'm gonna leave that alone because I just think that, you know, you'd have to be like blind and deaf and dumb not to know that there's a problem here. And you know where it lies, I don't know. I even heard that the lithium battery, somebody could have snuck some lithium batteries in the cargo section, and maybe that caused a fire, which could have, you know, caused it to God knows what in the air. So it's just all these different scenarios that just seem too strange to me. You know, there's too many being thrown out there for it to be believable to me. But you guys can draw whatever conclusion you all like. Oh, we're going to move on, y'all. Well, I get myself in trouble. You just tune in. You come center stage tonight. We're talking about basically what happened to Malaysia's airline flight 370. Where did it go? How did it just disappear into thin air? And nobody seems to have a clue a week later as to what happened. Oh, we're also going to talk about Russia. Russia today is reporting that they brought down a U.S. drone that was flying over Crimea. And we're also going to talk about the Kendrick Johnson case. We understand that subpoenas were sent out this week to some of his ex-classmates and their parents. So that should be very interesting, and I'm going to call his parents this week and see if they can come on and just give us an update, or his attorney, and give us an update. We're also going to talk about the fact that U.S.-grown chickens, y'all, are going to be sent to China to be processed and then sent back to the States for human consumption. What are your thoughts on that? Listen, if you want to chime in tonight, get on the phones. Call us up at 347-850-8390 and let us know what you think. Okay, y'all, this is what, you know, this story, I mean, I played the song Butterflies in our opener because this story really gave me butterflies. Between the disappearing plane and this story, I got butterflies. I mean, I saw that Secretary of State John Kerry met with his Russian counterpart, Foreign Minister Lavrov, in London today, and that was ahead of Sunday's referendum in occupied Crimea, which will determine whether the peninsula secedes from Ukraine and joins the Russian Federation. That said, basically, Kerry gave Lavrov an ultimatum, it almost seemed, and said, listen, this is your final chance. And from what I understand, the prime minister over there did not back down. You know, he basically, you know, blew off everything that Kerry said. And later in the day, Russia claimed that they brought down a U.S. drone flying over Crimea. They said it was flying at about 12,000 feet. It was, you know, not visible to the naked eye, but they say they brought it down. And if they did, in fact, do this, is that an act of aggression? And could it be the catalyst to take us into World War III? You know, y'all, I'm like this. When I heard that this evening, I took that to the equivalent when I was a kid, when you really didn't want to fight and there was somebody really at you and you say, well, I'm going to put this wood chip on my shoulder, and if you knock this stick off my shoulder, then we're going to fight. But really, you was hoping they didn't knock that wood chip off. So in my opinion, if Russia brought down that plane today, or that drone, I'm sorry, that drone today, wouldn't that be the equivalent of knocking the wood off America's shoulders? What y'all think?
But first, so it's definitely possible that they shot down a drone, but what it said that they found a way to block the signal from the people that was remote controlling the drone from wherever it was, and that's what brought the drone down. And they said it was mostly intact once it crashed. And I'm saying, from those drones, from what I've seen of them, if it crashed from 12,000 feet, it's you might get the drone, but it's not going to be a full-fledged, you know, it's going to be in chips and pieces. I think that everybody's saying whatever they want to say to make it seem like the other side is trying to bleed them from information. And, you know, like you said, the conversation with Kerry, I don't think conversations like that are actually leaked out in full-fledged conversations.
Ooh.
Because these are personal conversations that nobody was around to record or see. They just know they were in a meeting. So what comes out of the meeting is whatever anybody leaks, which usually the first lie is always the truth.
Mm. So you don't think if Russia put it out there like that, don't you think, let's just say even if it was a lie, if I put out that I brought your drone down, doesn't that make it look like I'm trying to make you look weak in front of your people?
Well, it makes it look like we've become somewhat intelligent now.
Oh.
We have the same technologies as you, but we can circumvent some of the actions that you usually do on little countries that don't have the potential that we have. So I don't think it's an act of aggression. It's like we have intelligence now too. We have this technology that you thought you only had yourself.
Go ahead, Ron.
I believe this could be President Obama's Cuban Missile Crisis for him, more so than World War III. Let's pray there's more Cuban Missile Crisis with the outcome, because July 28th will mark the 100th anniversary of World War II, and it started over in that same area with Russia and Austria-Hungary and all that stuff. It started in that same area of the world, World War I, July 28th, 1914. And let's hope that this might be Obama's Cuban Missile Crisis moment, where it's more about diplomacy than aggression. Cooler heads will prevail.
But you know what? In the world of macho men, and there's not a whole lot left now, but they're in the world of... I'm sorry. Back to what I'm saying.
You picked the wrong song, too. You picked the wrong song.
Let me go here. Don't go here. So that's it. When you're talking about all these people with, you know, all hyped up, you know, President Obama gonna make President Obama look weak if he don't do something. You know, that's the kind of language I'm hearing already. We gotta do something, or we gotta look weak. And I'm thinking, well, let's look weak, because I don't want to go into World War III. But everybody's all hype that we gotta respond, because if we don't respond, we're gonna look like we're scared of Russia. And I don't think anything's wrong with that, but a lot of people think that we got to do something or else. And Mr. Buns, you're in the military. Do we have to do something?
Well, not necessarily just because of that Russia is claiming that they basically either shut down or intercepted a drone. I guess what I would like people to understand as well is that the U.S. is not the only country that has drones. And there's a misconception with technology in terms of superiority technology. Now, they may not necessarily have the same thing, but Russia has drones. And a lot of times when things happen, like when a country fires a missile or a drone or certain things happen, and then maybe whether it's the U.S. or another country intercepts it or shoots it down, I think that was like when Iran was claiming that they had captured one of the U.S. drones that fell from the sky, and they were able to retrieve it and so forth. I mean, in terms of aggression, it really depends, and there's so much that they're saying that we don't necessarily have always facts to back it up, just as the general public, because it's coming from a media mainstream that doesn't always give us all the information, and sometimes they're only reporting what they have. But I think what's going to happen now.
Well, wait a minute. Let me back up though. Didn't they actually tell you what the serial numbers was on it? I was looking for my notes on that. They actually said, "Hey, we brought down a drone, and the drone was this, had this serial number on it, and it came from this specific place." Did someone else read that too? I'm looking for my notes on that. They actually did that. So it was like, to me, that's calling your bluff. Nobody else read that but me?
I read it. It did say that, you know, if you want to check, if you're missing some, find this particular drone.
Yes. And what infantry it came from, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. So when they do it like that, Christopher, it's not like they're saying, okay, we brought down a drone, na na na. It was like, oh, we brought down drone number da 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 from this base. It was like, the base was Aria,
I kind of think that would go back to more of whose side do you believe? Because, I mean, the U.S. can go and say, well, we never had a drone that existed with that serial number, or we never had a drone that existed in that area, that type of stuff. And Russia's like, yes, we did. Yes, you did. So, I mean, I guess that goes more back to, you know, whose side will you really believe as far as credibility?
But the truth, we know that there's people who work on the base who can say, you know what, we do have that drone number, and it did go out, and they did take it down. I mean, so for the masses, we won't know. But for the people who work on that base, they will know that particular – I don't know, where my notes are on that? But they actually called it out and said it came from this, you know, brigade, and it came from Bavaria, from the base in Bavaria. So to me, that is, I just think, in my opinion, Putin, you know, when he intervened in the situation in Iran and now this, I think Putin is absolutely saying, the United States doesn't tell me what to do. Do you agree with that?
I think he's been saying that quite a while now.
Okay. Well, don't you think this is like saying it a little louder?
Well, and you know, I think so, but think of it this way. Even though the U.S., the technology that the U.S. has, a lot of the technology that we have,
mm-hmm.
some of it was developed here, some of it was stolen, and some of it was from scientists from Russia, from China, from Japan. Mm-hmm. So if you make a product that you can utilize against someone and you stole that technology from them, they probably have a mirror image of what you have. So most countries are probably not as upfront and brash about saying, na 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 USA, unless they can back up what they're saying. I think Russia is basically, like when they went into Afghanistan, in a lot of the ways and flavors that they have come along in terms of their technology, I believe that they've gotten to the point where they don't feel that they have to back down, and they feel if it comes to blows that they have the ballistic missiles. They have things that where we could launch from here, whether it was offshore or from the U.S. itself, they can do the same thing. So it's going to come down to hopefully there will be talks where it won't have to go beyond that. But people have to understand that the Russian president, He has an army and a navy and an air force, and he has similar technology. Maybe not as large and vast as the U.S., but they do have a significant war faction that if they had to respond, they could.
And they also have allies, you know, that could also back them, you know. So, I mean, just like the U.S. has their allies, Russia has their allies, and if their technology and their equipment and stuff is similar to ours, along with their allies, you know, U.S. might not be as strong as they portray to be.
I look at Putin. He should win the Nobel Peace Prize if he could stop, you know, this thing from escalating. Because what he did with Syria, and also other things where he stepped in, he balanced the role of power broker and peacemaker very well, in a geopolitical sense. And Russia has history on its side because it was Russia that won World War II, not America. It was Russia because Hitler made the same mistake as Napoleon in trying to invade Russia. And they went to destroy them. And those people, they fight to the death. They'll eat their own and fight to the death. And Putin has done a lot of things, I think, to stop things from escalating, even the intervention in the Ukraine. I think it was very important that he did that. So it is a check and balance. It's good to have a strong, you know, strong countries that don't always agree with what America is doing. And I think that it's important to have that in place, and I think he's doing the right thing for his country. And people forget that Russia has more billionaires per capita than any place in the world. They have resources. They have people with money. They have financial connections. They have obligations just like the United States of America. So this is going to be very interesting to see played out.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. And I just found my note, y'all. It said that the drone that they're claiming to have brought down is drone number U as in under, A as in Apple, B as in Victor, M as in Mary, Q as in Cuba, 5B as in boy. And they're saying it belongs to the 66th American Reconnaissance Brigade based out of Bavaria. So, you know, you can say, well, you know, who do you believe? Yeah. But, I mean, that's pretty, I don't know. I mean, it's not like I said I brought down your drone and you say, okay, yeah, right. But when I say here's your serial number, here's the brigade that it came from, and here's the base that that's on, you know. So I don't know. And what was weird about this, y'all, is I listened to several news outlets this evening, and they didn't mention that. It's a news blackout here about that particular story. So that makes me wonder, too, you know, is it real? Because it was not mentioned on the news.
Military contractors control the news over here, though. Military contractors control the news. General Electric and Westinghouse, they control the news, the military contractors. So, of course, they're going to black that out. You know, it makes sense.
Wow. And you know, and I agree. And so, you know, but the problem is we don't realize when they're blacking out information like that, we could be teetering on World War III and may not know it until the bomb hits the house. Because
I don't think a war will be started over drones, so not at all.
You don't think what?
Unless, I don't think a war will be started over drones unless it's just a drone war.
Well, let me go here with you then.
What type of intelligence is on there?
You say what? Yeah, that's
I said it depends on what type of intelligence was on there.
And you know, I'm gonna go here with you. Today, they said that there's been a run on the banks in Crimea. So those people over there, they were like, listen, I better go get my money, what little was in there, because there's no telling what's happened. So, you know.
Sometimes when you see someone running, you got to follow behind them, not questions.
You know what? You're right. Especially if they're running to the bank. So you are exactly right. But there's been a run on the bank, and the problem is when you look at the situation, basically, should the West have intervened? I mean, I don't know. I mean, should we have gotten involved in this particular situation?
We should have intervened
in Chicago.
It what? I'm sorry, who was speaking?
No, the only thing I said was I think that it was kind of premature for them to intervene.
Okay.
They should have just, yeah.
I agree. AJ, were you saying something? I agree with Travis. Maybe we shouldn't have jumped in so soon.
I mean, we should have jumped in.
Yeah, we got long noses.
We got what?
We're Pinocchio. We have long noses, so we're in everybody's business.
I agree. I mean, we absolutely are, because basically, you know, what Kerry was basically telling Russia was, listen, you have until Monday. You have until Monday to go and take all your interest out of Crimea, or we're going to put some sanctions on you. And so, you know, basically Russia was like, so? You know, and so what they said, that Russia's troops were amassing in the Ukrainian border ahead of this weekend's vote. But Kerry had publicly warned Russia that they had, you know, basically were giving them their last chance to avoid the impositions of sanctions. And they didn't care. So it's like Russia's still marching in there while we're saying, okay, You know, you better not do that, and Russia's still moving forward. I don't think that they're going to stop. That's just me. And so what kind of sanctions could we put on Russia that's going to make them care if they're still marching in?
I think, you know, in order to put that type of pressure on Russia, you know, the United States is going to have to put up or shut up, because Russia's calling the bluff. They're like, you know, it's like they have some type of secret weapon, you know, to pull out at the last minute, you know. So the U.S. is really going to have to stand up and be forceful and really follow through with the threats and be able to back it up, or Russia's going to just, you know, laugh it off.
I mean, Putin has the ultimate poker face right now. He has the ultimate poker face. John Kerry looks like a Illuminati Muppet. He's like a Muppet right now. He looks like he might be
serious.
Prime Minister Chamberlain in a little bit. So what he looking like?
And they said he was. They said Kerry was sending mixed messages too. They said the, his signals were basically. At first, it was like people were getting the impression he was saying, "Y'all got to come out of there completely." And then they said Kerry's statement to Crimea's crisis is sending mixed messages to the point that just the level of the annexation of Crimea's peninsula is acceptable to the U.S. So basically, at first it seemed like all or nothing, and now it's like, okay, well, y'all could only have this part. Why would we do that? Why would we ever draw a line in the sand and then move the line?
That's Prime Minister Chamberlain, right? That's World War II. That's how they started, British Prime Minister Chamberlain. They're supposed to intervene when Russia went into, what, Czech, I don't know, where, I forgot, Poland or something, and nobody intervened. That's how World War II got started, because you make these bluffs and you can't back up what you say.
You know, John Kerry doesn't have a very good poker face. Just
well,
that's from the presidential runoffs. I mean, when he was running for president, I mean, just look at that. I mean, that was a joke.
It was unfortunate.
See, this is what Lindsey Williams told me today, y'all. This is what he said. And you know, I'm just a guy. When I talk to him, it's kind of like he's the calm in the storm. And he was like, listen, Kerry, I can't come on tonight, but this is what I want you to tell him. You know, I was like, okay, and I'm getting my pen and paper ready of this long list of stuff he's probably going to tell me. And what he says is, make your final preparations. And then he said, kid you not, this is Lindsey Williams talking to me, y'all. And then secondly, he said, and buy all the gold and silver you can. And I was like, the gold and silver, really? And I was like, well, you know, gold prices are going up, aren't they? And he was like, yes, they are. And he mentioned that China had bought up, you know, all the gold that they wanted. And he, you know, he always just said the dollar's going to collapse, and I believe he's right on that. And so I was like, well, you know, in the area that I live in, it's a whole bunch of shysters. I mean, it really is. And so I was like, you know, where do people buy gold from? And this was me asking him. He did not volunteer this because I wanted, if I was going to put that information out there, I didn't want anybody to get beat trying to buy some gold if that's what you choose to do. And he said, you know, I said, you know, he said, well, go to a reputable gold dealer in your area. Well, to be honest with you, I don't know one. So I was like, you know, well, I can't say that I really know one. And he said, if you go to lindseywilliams.net, that they had a list of some people, gold brokers that you can buy from, if that's what you choose to do. But those are the three things that he told me, y'all. I mean, seriously. Or the two things, buy some gold and silver and make your final preparations to meet your maker, because this ain't looking good. And he told me, the third thing he told me, he did tell me a third thing, was that in 2012 he made a DVD title, 2012, The Beginning of the End. And he said at that time, his elite contacts were saying that, you know, a lot of what they do is very demonic. I mean, you know, the way they treat everybody else and think that they're better than everybody else, just the whole way that they carry on is very satanic. But that said, they told him that they believed that a divine event was coming, a divine event. And I was like, really? And he said they're feeling even more so now. And I was like, well, okay, what exactly do they mean when they say that? I know what I think of when I think of divine event. I'm thinking God's going to show up and he's going to stop some stuff. And that's exactly what they believe, too, that at some point God is going to step in and say that's enough. And I hear other people say that, and you know, I think it's absolutely possible. But I would say to anybody, prepare for the worst. I mean, hope for the best and prepare for the worst. Will y'all agree with that? I mean, God very well may show up.
Which part? You said a lot of stuff in there.
Exactly.
All over the
place. As far as the sky opening up and the face leaning out and saying, hey, y'all cut that out. I don't know.
But I'm all
over the place. So much going on. But in terms of a divine intervention, do you believe that, you know, God is not going to allow this to happen, that he will step in at some point and say that's enough before we go to World War III?
Well, you know,
I think there's a lot to what you're saying. I think the significance of what the U.S. has done, their track record, and I think in this particular case with Russia, I'm speaking from, everybody, we've all gone through things, had our tests, our trials. But I was saying to a friend the other day about how the U.S. is going to, they need to take a step back and they need to look at how things are run internally with the government in terms of the socioeconomics, in terms of the corruption, in terms of the 1.5% owning more money and having more land and property and influence than the other 98, 99% of Americans. It's contradictory for what this country does in terms of trying to pressure other countries when they're not even taking care of a lot of things at home. This country has more men and women in jail than almost all the whole rest of the free world put together. So there's some dynamics in here that the U.S. has never been, well, maybe not as much to this point as Russia's doing to them, challenge them. And Russia is, in a sense, saying, mind your own business. And if you don't, we are not backing down. And some of this is almost, I think, as though they're saying, hey, America, go clean up your own stuff before you then tell us. Maybe you've been able to tell others and do what you want to do, but you're not going to be able to do that here. And I think that brings up an interesting conflict because the U.S. probably has never had to face it in this modern time like they are against Russia.
Really? And then I never thought about it. You're exactly right. So, but this is the thing. If we are teetering on World War III, what do y'all think we should be doing? I mean, how do you prepare for World War III today? How do you prepare?
Give your life to the fullest.
What?
Make sure you know Jesus. Because the bottom line is that if these fools who are in control and in the leadership positions, because a lot of the decisions that even with Kerry and that are coming out of the U.S., it's not necessarily in the best interest of the constituents, of the people. These are private, very influential men who are playing with our lives and our socioeconomic and in some senses our existence. So, I mean, they're not sitting down at the round table in D.C. talking about, hey, what should we be doing? What would the American people want? That's the furthest thing from their mentality. This is about what they want to do.
I'm on the phone with the radio station. I'm panel with the radio station, so I have to sit. But the signal.
Oh, okay.
All right, man. I'm sorry. You said what, Christopher?
I was just simply saying that, I mean, I'm looking at things totally different than I used to. And even, I'm approaching 27 years having been in the military. There's some things that I have enjoyed, that I have been afforded the opportunities, but then there's also some things that I wish I had done earlier and sooner and differently. I'm looking at it like this. A lot of the decisions that are being made, whether it's with Russia, whether it's with Afghanistan, things that the U.S. is involved worldwide, a lot of the decisions that are being made have nothing to do with what's in the best interest of the country or the American people. Think of it like a corporate Fortune 500 company. They're making decisions based on what's best for the money and the economy, but not from the perspective of the foxhole of the people, of the poor, of the people who need leadership to do things that's in the best interest. If we need to go to war and that's in the best interest of the people and it's the right moral and the right strategy to play out, I think we should consider that. But a lot of these decisions that are being made as of late, it has nothing to do with what's in the best interest of America. These are wealthy men that are basically running the country as if it is a Fortune 500 company without compassion, without any kind of religious spirituality or anything, and it's selfish, I think it borders on hedonism, and a lot of what is happening, it's going to come back. You know, you reap what you sow, it's going to come back. We can't keep going on like this. And so now where you see all the media attention with what is going on with in the political world, but you don't hear anything about the homeless. You don't. I mean, so I know I'm preaching to the choir, but a lot of those things that we could be addressing, we're not. Because it just doesn't have the same effect that some of these other political ventures does.
I agree. And, you know, and could going to war right now be a way in which they could collapse the dollar and people be more focused on the war than they would the fact that the dollar collapsed? Because in reality, everybody knows we don't have the money to fight a war right now. Where will we get the finance to do that? You know what I mean? I mean,
we haven't even recovered from the last war, and I mean, it's just too much. I mean, the economy, and along with a lot of other things, the credentials in the government, the faith in government, I mean, all that stuff's collapsed even from just the last war, and we haven't even recovered from that. So taking on another one is just ludicrous.
I'm sorry, who was speaking?
Oh, this is Ron. I'm sorry. You go ahead, Faye.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was saying that the problem with America is that it's like a dinosaur. It's about to become extinct. I don't believe World War III is going to happen. It's going to be a revolution. It's going to be a rebellion. It's because it's bound to happen, like back in Russia, back in 1917 or whatever. It's because the people just wanted bread. They wanted bread and land. And people need health care. They need land, they need schooling, and they're tired of being pushed over. People are going to stop being collateral damage and start becoming revolutionaries and rebels. But what I was thinking was the fact that our economy has been based for so long on war, since World War II. That's how we grew our economy. But now you look at Facebook recently just bought a company for $19 billion that only employs 55 people. Facebook has created billions of dollars off of people like us. We have nothing invested in Facebook. We make it real. We make them powerful. They have no power. They have the illusion of power. The emperor has no clothes, let alone Air Jordans on his feet. You know, they're false gods. They're false prophets, and they will fall. They always fail. They never succeed. That's the problem, because the nature and the universe has a way of correcting itself. Because God always wins in the end. So I said people need to get detoxified off that hope drug and start looking at reality as is and deal with the reality of the times. Now the spirit of the times speaks of rebellion and revolution, and change is going to come whether they like it or not. So people get ready. If you're not ready, you'll be left behind anyway. We'll see you later. So we'll see you on the battlefield.
Wow. You know, that's a mouthful right there, and I agree. And I do think we have to get ready. You know, I don't know whether we're going to have a revolution, but I think it stands to reason that if it's true that the West has been sending provocateurs into all of these other countries to have all these uprisings,
right,
it's only a matter of time that the provocateurs are going to be over here and having the people uprise over here. And we got a lot to be upset about. That's the scary part. It won't take a lot. I mean, you know, pick a subject, you know, and we got some angry people that are willing to go to battle over it. And so I don't think it would take much. But, you know, when I think about for some reason when you were talking, I thought about Sarah Palin. Remember when Sarah Palin was running for vice president and she said, you know, they asked, I remember what question they asked her, and she said, you know, I can see Russia from my front porch.
Mm-hmm. Lord have mercy, she was the president.
Russia can see us too. So I'm thinking, you know, Alaska, where is it? She's at Alaska? I mean,
Alaska.
They can just shoot right at, I mean, I don't know why we're doing this. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't know why we're poking a bear. Because when you get through, I don't know that we're ready for this fight. I really don't. I think militarily, haven't we gotten rid of a lot of top-ranking generals and stuff that deal with our sensitive weaponry? Haven't we gotten rid of a lot of them?
They were trying to overthrow Obama, though. They were trying to overthrow the Obama administration. They're trying to lead coup d'etats. You know, that's how you stop revolutions through the military. That's how they provocateurs work. They seize your military. Leadership
so
out of the people of Lumumba and tell them it's the power
all
right
those
now.
Generals off with that.
It probably was, but the news story is that they got forced retirement. You know, like, they'll never tell us the truth. The official story is always the official lie. They'll never tell you the background story. It comes out 50 or 100 years later through declassified files and Freedom of Information Act when everybody's dead. You know, so.
And that's possible. But haven't we also been downsizing our military? So my point being, is the military too weak, our military right now, to take on a Russia?
We still have the largest military ever in existence.
Okay.
And see,
so you think we're ready to take on a Russia?
But when they talk about cutting back, see, we think that they're cutting the military. And we understand that the military never had a cutback. So we've always had a big military, but it's just grown and grown and grown because that was the economic structure of the United States, is to have little skirmishes in Kuwait and little skirmishes in these little areas and pay these big defense contractors to make all this money.
Mm.
We had a vice president that was dealing with all and dealing with defense contracts. So he was making money during the war, after the war, and before the war.
And we do know that wars are typically financed by one group of people who finance both sides. So for those of you who may not be aware, that's how it goes. You know, so wars are typically started by a group who then finances both sides. So
that's right.
I read Custer talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Financed by banks.
Say what?
Banksters finance wars. They start wars. Banksters, World Bank, International Monetary Fund, people like USAID, these folks that come out there about goodwill, they sabotage a person's economy, and then they hijack everything. Nothing but official gangsters and thieves.
Exactly.
And shysters.
Exactly. So for y'all that's jumping up saying, yeah, we ought to just take on Russia, y'all better think about that because it's only a few people that will profit from it. And it won't be
the
99%.
The U.S. may actually have to do something because, I mean, the world is watching. They're looking to see how the U.S. will react. They're looking to see how vulnerable the U.S. is. And if Russia calls their bluff and the U.S., you know, punks out or whatever, doesn't do whatever it is that they can do, you know, that leaves them vulnerable for other nations and other areas to say, hey, you know, they backed down from Russia. They backed down, you know, maybe they're not as strong as we thought they were. Let's try something ourselves. So, I mean, they may have to actually do something just to call the bluff and call the, you know, be on the front line and say, hey, we're stronger than what they're saying.
But you know what? That kind of language, and I know you speak for a large group in saying that, but, you know, that kind of language is what got us in trouble with Iraq. We said we're going to go in there. Remember when George Bush stood on that ship and said, what did he say, mission accomplished?
That's right.
yeah, the motives were different there. You know, the motives, you know, that was a egotistic, I mean, the motives were just way off with that one, and that wasn't more or less just saying, hey, look how strong we are, let's call their bluff. There was money behind that. There was family issues with the first Bush. I mean, there was all kinds of different aspects with that to say this is why we're going to war.
But, no, my point being, and as in Vietnam, you cannot just say we're going to just go do something. Wars don't just – you just don't go in and come out just like George Bush thought we were going – George W. thought we were going to go in Iraq and we're just going to – you know, mission accomplished a couple weeks in. And, no, it just doesn't do that. And so my point is if we go and get into this conflict and a war begins, we can't just come – we can't go in and tear up countries and a whole bunch of people die and we not think it's just going to be something that we can just go in and say, okay, well, we're strong now, and we proved it to you. We don't want to be the kind of country, I would hope, that will just prove something to somebody just to say we're not weak so that somebody else won't attack us.
Well, I mean, I agree. I mean, I agree. I don't believe we should just, you know, to go to war just to save face. But, I mean, there's other things that they can do to, you know, to save face and things like that. I mean, I believe – you know, we shouldn't go to war unless it's an absolute immediate threat. All, you know, there has to be some type of a real, genuine reason, life-altering reason to go to war, in my beliefs. But, I mean, the U.S. has to do I mean, I'm saying that, there has to be some alternative, there has to be some type of negotiation or anything like that to save face, because if they let Russia call their bluff, or if it's a bluff, if they let Russia have the upper hand, you know, like I said, the world is watching. So they have to play this very carefully to avoid vulnerability.
But, Travis, the problem is Russia was not talking to the U.S. when it started taking over part of Crimea. That didn't have anything to do with us. So how about we, in turn, say, you know what, excuse us, put up our index finger and walk out of the situation and say, you know what, I'm going to let y'all handle that because we shouldn't have gotten in the first place.
That would be the high road. I agree, but the fact is, the U.S. did stick their nose in it. They got their hands in it now, so it's not like, you know, they can just withdraw it out without any type of repercussions.
I think we as Americans, I'm going to say this, and we're going to move on to the other two topics we got to get to before 10 o'clock. But I'm going to say this: I think that America should look at two things. First of all, can we afford this war? And do we want the loss of life, and is it worth? And then the third thing, is it worth it to just prove that we're macho? So we're trying to, you know, at the expense of proving that we're macho, we're going to lose human life on both sides, because the Ukrainian people and the Russian people haven't done anything to us, you know. So they're going to be caught, and we're going to pay for it.
Well, I'm going to take it a step further. I mean, I think, you know, the U.S. has to, you know, basically keep their nose in our own backyard and deal with our own issues. If you look at all the attacks that were towards the U.S. over the years, I mean, and that wasn't necessarily the attackers, you know, doing it just because. There was a reason. The U.S. is trying to force their beliefs off on other people, their way of doing the democracy and things like that. And those countries are like, you know, that's your belief. That's your way of doing things. Let us do it. That has nothing to do with you, so stay out of it. So we kind of welcomed those attacks, so to speak, by putting our nose in other affairs that didn't necessarily have to be. So, I mean, if they would just clean up our own backyard and deal with our own stuff, you know, we wouldn't have to deal with so much repercussions of everything.
And I think this last thing I'm going to say about this before we move on, I think we should call our politicians, you know, call their offices and say, we don't want this war. We don't want it to go any further if this is going to escalate into World War III. So we need to call our politicians and let our voices be heard so that they know if that's calling the White House, if that's calling your congressman, if that's calling your senator. But I think we definitely got to go on record as a people and say we don't want this. You know, we can't afford it. We don't want the loss of life, you know, on either side, and we just want out of that. You know, Christopher, y'all want to weigh in on that before we move on?
I just think that, like I said, I believe that it's not going to happen, that the universe has a bigger plan for us. Like they said, when we make plans, God laughs, right? God laughs at us because we don't really know what the hell we're doing, you know. But I just think that a lot of times people underestimate the power of one. It does make a difference when you get involved in the process, whether you be an army of one or an army of a million. Your voice has value, and the universe will hear it, and things will happen.
I absolutely agree. Christopher, you want to weigh in on that before we move?
And I'll simply just say this, Gary. One of the things that has to be taken into consideration here is, like you said, the collateral damage and the overall total damage. And I think that is being taken into consideration because when you look at things, who would actually want to get in a ring with a duplicate of themselves? I mean, we're not talking about conventional war with some sticks and some machetes. We're talking about nuclear, ballistic. So that is a higher consideration. So I think with that being said, that, they're going to have to both sides need to, and I believe, and that's why they are treading lightly. And, yes, there has been some things in reference to the U.S. being called out, but you're being called out by somebody that basically has an arsenal equal to you. This is not Iraq. This is not Afghanistan. This is not even Vietnam. So with that, it's just a little different because of the strategies on both sides.
I absolutely agree. And y'all, we got to remember too. Last thing, if unless AJ wants to weigh in on this, y'all got to remember Desert Storm. Y'all got to remember Vietnam. When you start talking about throwing those weapons get on your people too. I mean, so your military comes back all messed up, you know, and then they have to go 50 years before the government even acknowledges that they were damaged by the weapons that they used. So another just food for thought. You know, I know people from both wars, and they were injured, and it's taken forever for the government to even acknowledge that there's a problem. So just putting that out there. AJ, you want to weigh in before we move on to the Kendrick Johnson story?
Yeah. The thing I wanted to say is we're still paying Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, still paying Germany because we're leasing every facility we have. We're paying. We have to hire a certain number of German nationals to work at our facilities. You know, we have all these other things. So, and you got to remember too that Russia is chopped up in bits and pieces because Russia, all these countries start wanting to be individual countries. So everybody's not on Russia's side. It's not the big Russia that we used to think Russia to be. But I really don't think we're going to war for the simple reason is because we have too much already outstanding, not just debt, outstanding soldiers in different countries and outstanding different things. And I really don't think Russia want to go to war. I think it's a positioning. It's an act of positioning to me to show that I think we have power again. Because Russia wasn't even in any conversations for its power up until just recently.
But Russia is emerging like it's a superpower.
But that's what I'm saying. It's a positioning thing for them, but they still have all these different dissected countries in Russia that are no longer a part of Russia, that are their own individual entities.
Okay.
Russia doesn't even have all the nuclear weapons they used to have.
The problem with that is, I mean, if they, you know, even though they're not a part of Russia's entity, so to speak, I mean, they're very close within the range of Russia, you know, they'll be affected by it as well. So they may just have to, you know, take Russia's side on it. And because, I mean, if Russia starts getting bombed and things start happening, I mean, that's going to affect that whole area.
Yeah, but you say may, because they're still – I'm saying some of the countries don't agree with Russia's politics and Russia's sides on things too. But that I was just trying to make that point that Russia isn't this big giant Russia. So it's a repositioning of the Russian ideology that they used to have to seem like they matter in the world scope. Although they've always been mentioned in the world scope, but they weren't this giant entity, this giant matter of fact so thing anymore. And now that's what they're trying to be to me.
Mm. Okay, y'all. We're going to move on to the Kendrick Johnson story. Kendrick Johnson, y'all remember, is the Valdosta teen that was murdered in his Loud High School gymnasium back in the early part of 2013. There has been one massive cover-up after another on that particular story. You know, it's been rumored that one of the young men involved was the son or the daughter of a high-ranking law enforcement agency person, let's just say that. So that said, you know, the parents have just hit one stone wall after another stone wall after another stone wall. And recently, some video footage came out on YouTube where somebody broke down some video of Kendrick entering the gymnasium. And I'd seen the video months ago and didn't catch it. When you look at the video very closely, you see three young men. You see one young white boy who appears to walk up to two black boys, and he appears to hand them something, looks like maybe money. And then you see Kendrick passing them. And as they pass him, The three boys follow him into the gymnasium, and so does a third black boy. And now there's speculation that he was targeted by those kids, and that's who possibly had something to do with Kendrick's death. And so recently, this week, subpoenas went out to several of his classmates, or his ex-classmates, former classmates, and their parents. And so there's finally some movement, you know, in that investigation, and I understand the feds are involved, and there may be finally some leeway. What do y'all think about that? I mean, why did it take so long? Why did the school get tight-lipped? Why did the investigation get so bundled? Do y'all believe it was a cover-up as well?
Oh,
it
yeah.
It sounds like it.
And you know why? From the get-go, think about this. It took months and months. I don't know the exact time frame before the videos even surfaced. So that meant when they found his body and they did that autopsy and they claimed that it was suicide, the school already knew that wasn't true. So the school not only put that family through the agony, they sat on that information, hoping that nobody was going to ask for a federal or any kind of state investigation, and that it would go down as it being a suicide. So the school had no intention on coming forth until they got called on the carpet, and then a court, and the family was able to then get the video subpoena. So that lets you know from the get-go the school was dirty. And then
well,
the authorities, they were dirty too.
And I agree, and I'm going to clarify one thing you said. They didn't call it a suicide. They called it an accident, that he accidentally stepped, you know, was like walking on top of the mats, fell into one, and suffocated by his own body weight, you know, But you know what the thing is, you know, and his parents have come on and did the show, and his attorney have done the show. And the thing is, you know, they said this was a normal practice for kids who didn't have lockers. They would just hide their shoes and their belongings in these gym mats. But the thing is, that kind of speaks to the fact that he probably knew the process, and these mats would have been too easily moved, you know, where he could just move the mat, get the shoes, and go on, as opposed to walking on top of the mat. It just seems crazy. And it seems like if it was that many people, you know, coming and going in the gymnasium, that somebody saw something. You know, so, you know, it's just amazing that the investigation was so botched, you know, and you know, his parents said not one school teacher from that school went to the funeral. And he was very athletic, you know, played several sports, not one teacher, you know, very well known.
Yeah, that tells you right there, you know, that there's more to it. There's more of a cover-up. There's more because, I mean, I know there's, you know, other, you know, high schools when kids get in a car accident and die and things like that. The outpour of the school support is there. And for that not to happen in this case when, I mean, even, and we all know it wasn't an accident and things like that, but say it, you know, it were an accident, you know, the support would be overwhelming for that type of accident to happen. And if it, and if
you
it's not there,
visual or
something. Yeah.
No, exactly. No visual. And the parents were even told that they should not come to the high school because it would upset the other students. His sister was graduating in 2013. She was told, you know, to not go to the graduation because it would be upsetting to the rest of the students. You know, just you know, a lot going on with that case. And, y'all, we are watching it as it, you know, develops. And we definitely will be doing an update on the Kendrick Johnson story as time passes. But that story just blew my mind, you know, all the walls that the family kept hitting. You know, just one after another, and even the way the body was stored. You know, the parents were not allowed to see the body for 2 days. You know, and then when they found that the body was being stored in the building in a drawer, and it was warm outside, it was even warmer inside the building. You know, those kind of things. Just odd. You know, it's just a lot going on.
Wow.
And so we're praying for Kendrick Johnson's family. We're praying that justice be served, and we will definitely keep you updated as that particular case progresses. Okay, y'all, we got just a few minutes left to talk about this U.S. situation with this chicken. Why in the world would we be growing chickens here and basically thinking that it is a smart idea to send the chickens to China to be processed and then the chickens be sent back here for human consumption? Make that make sense to me.
There's more radioactive waves and stuff in China.
Kill us quicker?
Definitely.
Is that what
you say? You know, or maybe it would kill the stuff they process the chickens with. Because, you know, they're injecting the chickens from jump.
This is true. This is true. You were saying what, Travis?
It's about the money, the economy. I mean, what he was saying, I mean, it's a mixture of both. I mean, because from my understanding, we already shipped seafood over there.
Yeah.
It's a new process for like 10 cents a pound or something like that, some absurd number. And, who knows what they're injecting the stuff with. I mean, we already dealing with a lot of stuff here with hormones and steroids injections and all that. So who knows? They don't have any sanctions as far as safety and FDA type things to regulate that. And who knows what they're putting in it to ship back over here. I mean, they could be lacing it up with cocaine or something. I don't know. I mean, it's absurd for them to go through that process.
We talked about the recall last week, and if you ship it to China, it comes back. There's no trace of recalling.
Yes, yes. We're stuck. I mean, y'all, the only way out is to not even eat meat because we can't win with the beef recalls and the way they're about to do the chicken and the spinach recalls. It's getting just crazy. But, we always see these stories about salmonella in the chicken, right, and how you have to be so careful with the handling of chicken. Why would we be wanting to transport chicken, that far away and then bring it back here? That just doesn't even make sense. Is it because we owe China so much money that we're just giving up everything? They pretty much manufacture all our products. Most of our clothes they made in China. Now we're going to do this? It just seems like we owe China so much money that they are just putting all kind of demands on us and we are succumbing to them. That's what it seems to me. Can y'all agree with that?
Well, the African-American population will balance that out quickly if they keep buying all this hair.
Oh. See, you're wrong for that.
No, hair is a $1 billion market. That's a $1 billion industry. Most of that comes from China.
And see, now you know that some of the hair is worn by other races other than, every nationality got some extensions these days. So don't just put that on African-American people. And I'm not a weed-wearing person, y'all, I'll be honest with you. I've never done that. But at the same time, it is giving a whole lot of money away to China. You would think that would offset some of the debt, but obviously it's not. I mean, obviously not. And I just have a problem with the fact that we just don't have any say-so in all these things that we're allowing China to do. I mean, the American people don't get a say. All we know is one minute we're outsourcing jobs to China. We're doing this with China. Now we're sending our food to China. I mean, I'm just saying, I think that debt ought to be coming down some. When we look at that clock, it don't look like it's coming down, but it ought to be coming down. Don't y'all agree with all the stuff that we're giving to China?
Well, yeah, but keep in mind the money that the U.S. government gives out in aid, some of which is repaid, some of which is not, and it's arbitrarily done. They don't ask the American people. I mean, there are billions of dollars that are given away to a lot of different nations. And, I mean, even going back to the weave and to the hair, to the artificial hair and to the real hair that's sold, I ain't got no issue with that. The issue that I have is that Black folks should be controlling that. They should be making it, manufacturing it, and selling it. And they should be capitalizing. Some of these things we're never going to get away from. Whether people think that this is a good thing, bad thing, economically or socially, the thing is that we have to get to the table. But we're never going to get to the table if we don't we have to stop just being consumers. And then even if that means that I have a store, and I have to make my prices conducive so that you can afford it and build from there, I think we'll be better. But China has got a strong stranglehold on the U.S. and a lot of other countries, but specifically the U.S. And until we get to the point where we don't allow that, has anybody looked at the price of gas lately? And it's not because of the shortage of crude oil. It's because they can. And we don't own any petroleum plants or anything, so we can complain. But until we kind of get at the table and get in the fight, it's going to be very tough. And I think we just have to do our best.
I just think when we're looking at food going over there and then coming back, that's just too high of a price to pay. I mean, like Travis said, I think we're already sending seafood, but chicken is a little bit more sensitive horse than that, and so we really got to be careful about allowing that to happen. And if we don't say something, then what? I mean, you know what I'm saying? We're just going to start dying off from chicken consumption and not knowing why. And the last point I want to make on that before we get out of here, y'all, is you do know that they're not going to tell us which chickens have gone over there.
That was my issue. I was hoping that they were going to put a disclaimer on that. And then if the FDA is not going to do that, I mean, that's like Russian roulette. That's them. They're gambling with our health and life, because there won't be any way for us to say, hey, well, how do I know if this regular, if this is organic, or if it was shipped over to China and now it's coming back? And if they're saying they're not going to allow this, they're going to start growing my own chickens.
I think the only... Go ahead, Travis.
I think the only way that, you know, this would ultimately come to an end as far as outsourcing the food and things like that is if unfortunately enough people die from it and get sick and they start suing these companies and reclaiming some of that money, you know, and basically, I mean, some type of catastrophe is going to have to happen in order for them to stop shipping it over there. And the only way that's going to happen is if people start getting sick and die and start suing, you know, and hitting their pockets.
Well, you're not going to be able to prove they're probably going to lie and say, oh, that one wasn't sent over there. I mean, how are you going to prove it? You know, the FDA didn't check.
It's going to be enough. I mean, it would have to be enough, you know, of an outbreak of some type where it can be proven, you know, that, you know, this many people is being sick and this many people is dying because of this chicken and so forth and so on. It would have to be a large outbreak. And you really, in order to stop this type of thing, you just had to hit them in their pockets where it hurts.
Well, see, and, you know, the beef recall we did last week, y'all, wasn't that some millions of pounds over a course of a whole year? And so if you got sick, you didn't even know. A lot of those people probably got sick, and they were basically processing diseased beef. I mean, diseased, and knew that they were diseased, and they did it anyway. And so, you know, they didn't really tell us which meat. They didn't tell us where it was sold. You know, they just said what states, but they didn't say what stores. You know, so it's just so much on the table, just so much news. It is just hard to keep up with y'all. So that's why on a weekly basis now, y'all, we try to at least hit hot topics just a little while, just to let you know the headlines that just jumped out and caught our attention. And these are just some of them this week. Listen, we got to get out of here because we have gone over our limit. We want to thank you so much for tuning in tonight. And we want to thank Ronald Hurd and Travis Schaefer for stopping by and hanging out with AJ and I tonight. And Christopher, thank you so much for listening. We're going to be here again next Friday night, as we are each and every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Central, 9 to 11 Eastern. If you want to chime in on the conversations, please feel free to do so. And if you like the show or don't like the show, drop us a line this week at centerstageradio@yahoo.com. Tell us what you think of the show. We'd love to hear from you. Listen, everybody, we got to get out of here. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.